In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, my brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ. Lent is a season of repentance. True sorrow over sin is the goal of the ancient church fathers who set the tone for the season. The scripture lessons of the season, both Sundays and Wednesdays, certainly take us by the hand and lead us that direction. To contemplate all that Jesus has done for us, both in suffering and passion, but also in his battling our enemies for us, you would think, would lead us all to do a bit of serious thinking on what caused all this to be necessary. That's why the season scripture lessons include a journey to the Garden of Eden to witness the first sin that brought death on the world. It is also why we take a journey to the Garden of Gethsemane to witness Jesus in all his agony under the weight of the world's sin, pleading in prayer that his Father's will be done no matter what the cost to the Son. But what is your role and mine in all of this? I find it fascinating that in this particular moment in our surreal journey as a world into a pandemic bringing all of humanity not only to a screeching halt, but to its knees in despair, the Old Testament lesson selected for this Sunday speaks first of God's intentions through allowing awful moments like this in our human experiences, and the response of faithful believers that are led by God showing us our sin and its consequences, but also his saving love and forgiveness. Let's turn back to the lesson from Hosea and read those words again. Then I will go back to my place until they admit their guilt, and they will seek my face. In their misery, they will earnestly seek me. Come, let us return to the Lord. He has torn us to pieces, but he will heal us. He has injured us, but he will bind up our wounds. After 2 days, he will revive us. On the third day, he will restore us, that we may live in his presence. Let us acknowledge the Lord. Let us press on to acknowledge him. As surely as the sun rises, he will appear. He will come to us like the winter rains, like the spring rains that water the earth. The last verse of chapter 15, the first verse of our lesson, is the conclusion of God's condemning of his covenant peoples turning everywhere but to him for help and salvation. The nation had been unfaithful. Even Judah was looking to surrounding nations for answers to the predicaments its own idolatry and immorality had brought down upon it. Jerusalem, with God's holy temple, the only place on earth where God's saving name and his saving presence was allowed to be fully embraced in every way, in sacrifice, daily ceremony, and sequential festivals, all prescribed by God himself. Even with that shining mountain in their midst, they looked elsewhere for answers, for an out from their sins and their sins' consequences. I will go back to my place until they admit their guilt. Is God sounding very much like a parent who knows the answers to his children's unhappinesses, but they are not interested in what he has to say? God knows the reasons for human moments such as the one we are experiencing all too well. It is all a consequence of human sin. All of it brought upon humans by humans, with God allowing it for a purpose, an eternal purpose. And when humans don't turn to God for answers, he pretty much says, fine, until you come to your senses and admit your guilt, I leave you to your own devices, but eventually you will seek me. And what does he say it will take for his people of Judah to seek him? Misery. When the misery gets deep enough, God knows human beings will finally seek him and plead for forgiveness and mercy. Do you hear echoes in this lesson of the realities of the recent events of our world? Worldwide commerce, leading to human beings believing we together as a world culture can lift ourselves to a new level of human experience that put all the trappings of earthly life easily at the fingertips of every last person on earth. Technology, medicine, science are all amazingly wonderful things. But when they become trusted more than God, and when the elements of human sinfulness and human limitations are not even part of the discussion of the realities of life in our world, when worldwide morality is simply atrocious, as sex, greed, and gossip drive pretty much every nation and culture of the world, should it really surprise us that it is time the world had a moment similar to the moment in our text for Judah? When the Creator God says once again, "Fine, I will go back to my place until they admit their guilt. I will let them experience misery until they finally earnestly seek me." I remember a moment in the summer of 1988 when it had last rained in late April. After a stretch of scorching days reaching an extremely dry and hot 100 degrees, by the middle of July, most every green living thing had turned to dormancy. The trees were dropping their brown leaves. The farm fields were lined with rows of dry, dead seedlings that never got the moisture needed to get much past germination. Water restrictions were the argument of the day in most communities. As my brother and I sat waiting for a red light at an intersection, I turned to him and said, "Now there is something you don't see every day, and may likely not see again once this is all over." An extremely large and popular nightclub, where all the hip and trendy young adults went to nightly party, had turned their changeable sign out front that usually advertised the nightly specials or coming attractions to spell it out in all caps: "Pray for rain, people." What does it take to get you and me to take some time to contemplate our own brokenness and sin? What does it take for us to spend some Lenten season time examining the attitudes of our surrounding culture against the word of our God, so that we might be led to honestly acknowledge how each of us has been sucked into the vortex of sin and immorality in many and shameful ways that need to be corrected? Finally, how much misery is it going to take for you and me, this nation and this world of ours, to earnestly and honestly seek the face of our loving Savior God for his answers to our clear and abject human sin and failure? Perhaps it will be a Holy Week and Easter where no one can gather to worship him. In balance to his call for repentance, honesty, and sorrow over sin, our Savior God, through his prophet Hosea, immediately comes with the grace, the compassion, the mercy, the saving love. God allows his prophet to be his voice, inviting us all to come. Return to the Lord. He has torn us to pieces, but he will heal us. He has injured us, but he will bind up our wounds. After 2 days, he will revive us. On the third day, he will restore us, that we may live in his presence. Let us acknowledge the Lord. Let us press on to acknowledge him. As surely as the sun rises, he will appear. He will come to us like the winter rains, like the spring rains that water the earth. Human sin is the most serious business there is. The consequences of human sin are born on the air, course through our very veins, and pulse through and taint every human thought. The only answer to this predicament will never be of human origin. That's just not possible. The answer will always be divine. The answer to every moment of human misery will always and only be acknowledging the Lord, the Savior God, who promised salvation to the first human sinners the very day of their sin as they began our perpetual and titanic struggle with death. He allows us to be torn to pieces so that he can show us how to heal. He allows us the injuries that focus and humble us so that he might bind up our wounds. All so that after he has revived and restored us, we might live in his presence eternally. And the season of Lent is exactly the proof you and I need from the Word and from God's history with humanity to lead us to complete understanding. He allowed himself to experience all these things in his own person as the God-man, the Christ, to give us the ultimate reviving and restoring. Walk with Jesus through the last days and hours of his life. Who has ever been more torn to pieces or injured than him? Every last bit of it allowed by his Father for an ultimate purpose. In Jesus' case, it was not a justly deserved outcome for any sin of his own, but his voluntary act of sacrifice for every other human sinner who has ever lived or will ever live. What an amazingly and beautifully appropriate portion of Scripture for you and I to have in our focus this day as we begin this journey of uncertainty that a pandemic has made reality for us. Look at the pages of history and see how after every single one of these many, many moments caused by human rebellion and sin, our God has fulfilled this promise for his people. He has revived them. He has restored them. He has often taken some of his own to live in his presence through the very travails, the pandemics and wars that humanity have brought upon themselves. But to those who live on after the misery of the moment, the sun rises again, and God's promises. They're as clear as that rainbow was to Noah after the worst pandemic this world has ever known. So maybe we don't gather together in person for some time to worship our God. Maybe there will be yet misery for many of us as a result of a virus, whether that misery is physical, emotional, or economic. God's answer is the same to all of it. God's answer is the Lenten answer that was queued up for us this fourth Sunday of Lent, whether COVID-19 had become the international scourge of conversation or not. We have a God who saves. We have a God who desires our serious and honest daily reflection on our sins and failures, so that also daily we might turn to him for forgiveness, deliverance, and solace for our daily struggles, until that day we live eternally in his presence. So, come. Let us return to the Lord. He has torn us to pieces, but he will heal us. He has injured us, but he will bind our wounds. After 2 days, he will revive us. On the third day, he will restore us, that we may live in his presence. Let us acknowledge the Lord. Let us press on to acknowledge him. As surely as the sun rises, he will appear. He will come to us like the winter rains, like the spring rains that water the earth. Amen.